So we're looking at the Nephilim, the hybrids. Some have seen them as God-men, small g. Obviously, the Old Testament clearly discusses them, Genesis 6. We're told clearly in all the translations that I've read said, then again afterwards, that they were on the earth prior to the flood, and most likely the flood dealt with stopping the genetic transmutation of these beasts, and they were to be wiped out. We have the word of Scripture, though, that's pretty clear, and I looked at about 15 other translations. They all refer to after the flood, they were here again. And so we looked at the Old Testament, and we saw that the Old Testament involves them in Numbers and other places, Anak, and that Israel had to engage with at least highly demonized tribes, if not Nephilim direct. In other words, first generation Nephilim, and then there would be second generation and third generation tribes, the bloodlines, and all of those bloodlined tribes that would be Nephilim oriented, well, they would also be highly demonically engaged. They were conduits. They were gateways. They were of the nature of the demonic anyway. So when we deal with the Nephilim, listen, we are dealing with what not only occurred in the past, that God had specifically brought a record of in Scripture. But we may have also the issue of contemporary, the resurrection of the Nephilim. And I've said in the beginning of all this that more has been written on Nephilim, the giants, the hybrids, in the last 10 years than in all of the history of Christendom. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, and Thursday night, the 29th of July, Thursday night you can get the program right off of our site, Shatter the Darkness. Just click on the Thursday night link there, and the audio will come directly up. Want to welcome you from, again, those who archive, those who listen to all the live during the week. Want to welcome all of you, and from many different countries of the world. We'd love to hear from you once in a while. Let us know where you're listening from. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. We're into a series this week that I think is vital, that is, again, books and books have been written about, documentaries are being, you know, done, film. History Channel has touched on it. There are New Age versions. There are occult versions. We touched on the contemporary themes of Jack Parsons, a rocket scientist, and the attempts to create Nephilim, or a crossbreed, a godman, an enhanced human. So we have in the community of, high-level science, we have the German Nazis and their science backbreeding Aryan to get a more pure blood Aryan, and in their view, a godman, a human being with godlike qualities. Once again, anybody going to the secret doctrine of Helena Blavatsky, you're going to read about the Hyperboleans, the Lumerians, the Atlanteans, the Aryans, and so forth. So there is in the deep occult world the belief in and the goal to create again Nephilim. Aleister Crowley also, the Moonchild, the concept again. And we can find this, well, we can dig into it as a deliverance and counseling issue when it comes to incubus succubus. Many of you that may be counselors or working in the area of deliverance have engaged individuals coming to you that said that a spirit came and tried to and actually had some kind of sexual relationship. Again and again and again, we've had this issue. And if you know anything about satanic ritual abuse, you know that that plays a major part. Backbreeding to the Nephilim blood, the attempts to recreate Nephilim or a different type of Nephilim, at the very least, in the occult view, a superhuman, that would be, in the satanic sense, by nature, by genetics, by the disposition of their spirit, be completely given over to the dark side. The Nephilim were not on God's side. They didn't serve God. They didn't want to know God. They were in opposition. And the Nephilim tribes of the Old Testament, in absolute opposition to Israel's presence, constantly seeking to war with them, fight them, annihilate them, destroy them. Throughout history, we looked in the areas of archaeology, and you can go to the pyramids, you can go to the ziggurats around the world, you can go to the old temples, and specifically the Mayans. And I'm going to say to you again, the big issue in this next year right now, and again, the Mayan prophecies, the Mayan temple, Quetzalcoatl, all these issues are playing a part of bringing influence to millions of individuals, perverting true spirituality that God has given in Christ, offering again the alternative, and syncing that information in with the New Age and the occult theme and the Masonic theme and all the rest that leads to the coming chaos, the cleansing and wiping out of anybody who's going to be resistors, and then the new spiritual but Luciferic spiritual age. Everything in biblical prophecy tells us that we are in and are approaching the most demonstrative supernatural experiences, events, coming with the development of the regime of the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, just incredible supernatural things coming from demonic power and force and energy and ability. Now, it goes beyond this when we have the rise of the Theron, Antichrist, and the second beast, Theron, the false prophet. We look at these two individuals, and specifically the second beast, Revelation 13, and we find out that he will bring about some of the most powerful, supernatural events and experiences and miracles in all of history outside of Christ, that he will literally persuade billions. The false prophet will affect billions on this planet. That's how big his presence will be. And it's all about him pushing people to worship the dragon and the first beast. Now, the false prophet bringing about the most demonstrative miracles, counterfeit, I mean demonically inspired, obviously. The goal, again, deceiving. Anybody looking at Revelation 19:20 knows that it's all about that deception. It's about this unholy trinity, dragon, antichrist, false prophet, and their effects to create globalism. So New Agers and 2012ers and Mayan prophecy buffs need to understand that all of the concepts that you're looking at concerning chaos, New Age, is synchronizing with the Luciferic, the satanic view, and what the Antichrist will do and the false prophet will do. The most supernatural time in human history. Now, we've already mentioned on Monday night the origin of the Nephilim. Tuesday, the first hour, 6 to 7, the Old Testament look. We got into the 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Survive to Thrive network, where I guest host on last Tuesday night. We got into some of the questions. Wednesday night, we got into some of the contemporary issues, which again, I'm going to say, more books written about it, more discussions about it. And because of the incredible underground development, did you hear me? Underground development. The secret power of lawlessness is a satanic, supernatural, literally shield of hiddenness. There's been a secret operative presence, 2 Thessalonians 2. And the development has been a frog in the kettle approach. It's going on whether you or I see it, you or I detect it, no differently than when Jesus was eating with the disciples at the Lord's table, the Last Supper. And not one of the disciples knew that Satan literally was there in the room, operative, ready to pounce. Jesus had to tell them, "Simon, Simon, Satan has just asked to sift you as wheat." That's the time when Satan entered into Judas and led him to betray Christ. It was all about bringing spiritual attack. The presence was fully, actually, really, demonstratively there, shielded from finite, fallen, blinded mankind, but not from the infinite Christ. Not once, not ever. So I would say again, for those who are New Agers and 2012ers and remote viewers and psychics and those who are into ufology and you're looking at all the other non-human intelligences as they're giving massive and vast communication, experience, and loading the air as many on that side of the fence are believing through demonic prophecy or New Age prophecy or the ancient Mayan prophecies that sync up with them, that as the air fills with more and more of that presence, as the great chaos that will be like a satanic Pentecost unleashing untold presence and power in the air and on the ground and on people. Well, on the other side of the fence, New Agers are being convinced that that means that everybody's going to become more spiritual, that everybody's going to have an evolution of human consciousness, that everybody is going to be able to be, you know, psychic and have supernatural abilities and see spirits and the dead, you know, all kinds of. And the truth is, the broader the actual manifest presence, and with the actual known agenda of the dark side, supernatural enhancements will explode at the time of the great chaos, which also involves a critical mass opposition in the air, in the mentality, in the thinking, in the feeling of billions against God and the real living Christ of the cross, real believers in Christ, and Israel. As the dark side manifests, it will be demonstrative. The proof will be in the pudding. If it's the false prophet that begins to operate, then just as God has given the selective, infallible, accurate, preemptive data, God and God alone has written the book on the Antichrist, on the false prophet. I just hope you and I have studied the book, the material, so that we can realize what is to come. We're on the edge of that kind of history. We're on the edge of that kind of incredible, absolutely incredible moment in time. Now, this means that, again, if you don't know the living Christ, there is where not only the relationship with God can be found, but presence, power, might, protection, and spiritual authority, and Holy Spirit-given discernment to know. Without the living Christ, the precursors that are here now and the layers, the waves of a manifest dark presence masquerading as light will just almost be undiscernible. People are going to be just unable to slough it off, push it off. They're going to receive. They're going to be influenced. And without the kind of enormous grace, power, and help in Christ, this is why biblical prophecy predicts many. Many will fall to the direct worship of the supernatural being, the hybrid, the Theron, the Antichrist. The world will see this being as a supernatural, incredible, beyond just enhanced human, the enhanced human. And with the false prophet, the second Theron, and again I would say hybrid, meaning that in Antichrist's case, it would not be B'nai Ha-Elohim that came down first generation, direct sex with a bloodlined, occultic, a satanic, given over woman to create the Antichrist. No, it would be Satan himself. It would be the fallen cherub. So the assumption that in every single detail of what God does, what God has done in Christ, what God has done with his word, with miracle, with salvation, with the word of God, with the church, with the future, every single iota is being counterfeited by the dark side. Counterfeit apostles, counterfeit teachers, counterfeit doctrine, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles. A counterfeit Christ, Antichrist, instead of Christ. The incredible supernatural operating presence, counterfeit to God's presence and power. So we need to really understand the day that we're living in. We're living in a day in which, well, the consideration of present-day Nephilim should be on the table. God has it recorded before the flood, after the flood. Let me say again, because Jesus says in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Well, in reference to the second coming of Christ. And he didn't say, except for the fact of the Nephilim. See, in Genesis 6, involving the issue of the flood, the story of the Nephilim, of the B'nai Elohim, and the creation of hybrid, was right smack dab in the middle. Not a tiny reference, but a very big reference. And a very selected, God put it there. Because the issue of the flood was because of the issue of the radical evil that probably the Nephilim were at the forefront of. Now, many believe that the fallen angels that came down and did this were put into Tartarus and to the abyss and other places, and that's fine. We just don't have anything else in Scripture that says it didn't happen again or that God would never let it. There's people that assume that, oh, God wouldn't let that happen again. Oh, God won't allow that. God forbid that, you know, ever occurring again. Well, where does it say that? So in the Old Testament, when it happens again, as referenced in Genesis 6, we are living in human bloodline history. Unless tribes died out, unless there is none, which is in some cases very possible, but on the other side of the fence, the concepts of serpent worship, the development of the temple places, the ziggurats, the Nephilim architecture for granting gateways to the demon gods, connecting them up into the air, astro-archaeology. And so it seems that they have coordinated the development of tribes, and the Mayans are an incredible evidence of the connection of Nephilim, Nephilim architecture of a tribe, to completely, in every way, link it to massive demonic territorial presence, ownership. And of course, the humans in the mix were either in the upper elitists as the priests and those who were involved with the sacrifices, or you were the hoi polloi, you were the people that were brought in by the thousands to be sacrificed. And again, I'll say, human sacrifice and the shedding of blood is probably one of the most powerful gateways of bringing demons from their side to this side, summoning the powers and bringing them over. Well, we have another issue then on the table, satanic ritual abuse, SRA, and the issue of multiple personality or DID. All of those who have been working in the field, and by this time, 2010, and in the book that we put out, in very specific information that has been put out, corroborated by many different sources, including the military's use, the use of this in psychology. Cameron was involved, G.H. Esterbrooks, Jolly West, the concepts of the mind control are connected directly to the spirit-guided science technologies and psychologies of the Nazis. Continuing to be pushed forward even after the Nazis lost. It's clear that the science and technology, occult-oriented science technology, went to the Russians throughout Europe, to the Brits, throughout the United States. It's clear now that those victims, by the millions, that are in their 50s, upper 50s, close to 60, that it all began back in the, well, even the late 40s, early 50s. The projects into the millions in the 50s. See, with the evidence of the victims today, you just simply go backwards. Where did it begin? And we can see the rise of it. The difficulty now is that we have those in the late 50s. We have their daughters and sons and daughters that are involved in the coven, involved in the entire process. Then we have the next generation, a third, and now we have a fourth. And so, at the very least, now there's four generations that are in this process of a technology given, of a spirit-guided project, demonically speaking, satanically speaking. In my personal belief, it's the same spiritual drive that Himmler and the rest had in their goal of Levensborn, the birthing centers, the secret project, the genetic backbreeding of the Aryan, the idea that if they could just simply continue to find Aryan among the German population and purposely make them breed, get those babies, protect them, make them Aryan, stronger Aryans, breed with stronger Aryans, and back and back and back and back. Their goal was to not only to have powers in the blood, have superhumans, they wanted a master race. The mentality was, now where does that come from? Where does the ideology, where does the vision, where does the thought of a master race of godmen, small g, that can serve a paganized political military system that would rule the world for 1,000 years, that would eliminate all of Israel and Jews worldwide, and that would displace or eliminate all real believers in Christ worldwide. We find that the spiritual drive is Hell's Kitchen. And the drive continues. It is the drive of the spirit of Antichrist. It is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative. It is that secret power of lawlessness already at work with an agenda of building an underground regime, building the master race of soldiers, producing Antichrist, false prophet, and then their goal of letting all of it burst upon the scene in a massive hell on earth release, a counterfeit Pentecost. Now that's again their version. And I believe biblical revelation already gave a heads up about what they're doing. And we're seeing the fulfillment. Just like Peter on the day of Pentecost. The prophecy of Joel about Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit of God. The power was so great, so massive, and so timed for the most to experience and then hear the message of Christ. That's what Pentecost was all about. And Peter was able to stand up, telling the people to listen and saying, what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, this power that came, the sound, the signs, everything that's going on, these people filled with the Spirit of God and power, this is that which the prophet Joel had spoken about. God spoke and said it would occur, and it did, again and again and again. We've got to get it through our heads, Christians, that what God has said again and again and again in the past has always had infallible accuracy and fulfillment to the detail, to the letter. And so when we read in the New Testament specifically, in all of the prophecy, God gives revelation, prophetic revelation of what he is going to do, including the second coming of Christ, including the ending of all radical evil, including new heaven and new earth, including the glorification of all believers in Christ, including the New Jerusalem, including including the great white throne judgment, the final issues. But he also gives the prophetic revelation of the hell's agenda and the surfacing of it and what events to look for. So we should have been looking for the frog in the kettle development of the spirit of Antichrist, hundreds of millions of spirits deceiving billions of people, guiding them away from God, away from Christ, away from the Word of God, and then reinterpreting everything, reframing everything, putting different meaning even to biblical words and concepts, and creating a new age movement, which is a spiritual movement, but alternative and counterfeit to the real. Absolutely counterfeit. It's real. The spirits are real. The doctrines are given by spirit inspiration. They're called didache of demonoia. So all of this has been occurring, and the next big event is the chaos. But behind the scenes, what has been operating, what has been building is... And we read Revelation 13, as I've said a week ago, that in the rise of the Antichrist or the apocalypse, there's an inseparable connection to the rise of the regime, which is considered beast or beast system. That all those that are already in league with, lined up to, and connected to Antichrist would be considered Theron. Would be considered beast. At the very least, without question, demonized to the core. And the regime may have been, it may be in its fourth generation, building to where, from top to bottom, again, birthed in the demonic bloodlines and powers and kept in under that shield of satanic supernatural secrecy for now. But they are plotting the great revolt, the great chaos, the great cleansing, the great leveling, which means which includes the unprecedented, like a Pentecost, only satanic, inverted, unleashing from their side to here, like a dam that breaks. But instead of the gushing waters, the gushing spiritual presence that they, the Luciferic side, through that seducing, deceiving, masquerading process, have convinced hundreds of millions that a coming spiritual evolution of humanity, of everything, of the earth, a wave, a burst spiritually is coming. Well, it is coming. It is coming. But it is not what they think. It will strike. It will change everything. It will level the old and the new. What is now waiting will pounce. And yes, a new age of unprecedented presence, Luciferic, demonic, spiritual, manifest, And with it comes the predictions of the worst devastations, destruction, and loss of human life in the shortest amount of time. In all of this process, satanic ritual abuse, victims now into the millions, with most of those counselors that have looked at the stats, looked at the numbers, and realized who they've dealt with, half of the people have never been to a psych ward, to a counseling center, to be recorded. So there are probably twice as many satanic ritually abused victims. Now that's the terms we've been using. The terms we have found over the years is chosen one, Babylon working baby, specially bred, selected, well, they're to be like godmen. The concept we see on this side of the fence is satanic ritual abuse. Their view, the Luciferic view, is the creation of super soldiers, super enhanced human beings that will serve the cause. The millions demonized, split, programmed, and in place are to be triggered to be used to create the chaos, to be the troops of Antichrist, to enforce the enforcers of the new regime as it does ascend and come to power. So you've got to understand that if you're a counselor, if you've heard about multiplicity, MPD, DID, those are terms I don't like to use because they don't reflect what the purposes or the origin or the reasons why this all began. In 1947, G.H. Estabrook, a world-renowned psychologist, wrote a book, Hypnotism, hired by the military, very versed in all the German science that was coming over. But he let it slip that they had begun to learn how to create sub-personalities in soldiers. Alternative personalities that would be assassins that could operate covertly. And in the book, under the weaponization of this process, he clearly lets the cat out of the bag when he says that in all of the armed services of the United States of America, all the different branches, they need to create many of these super soldiers to create kind of a hidden column of soldiers, warriors. What wasn't revealed in the book was the spiritual side of the technology, the technique of splitting and the programming and what it was all about, including the concept of demonization, including the concept of learning transgenics, animal genes, panther, whatever, would be able to be spliced into the genes of a human being so they could see at night, that they would have suprahuman qualities. But then the weaponization of demonic power that occurred in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 3, the Moabite demon-worshipping king, knew how to, by human sacrifice, draw the powers to fall on their soldiers in order to defeat Israel. Clearly, the weaponization. Now, there's no question, anybody looking at the end game, Armageddon, Revelation 19:19, the most powerful, supernatural, the most advanced in technology. Please understand, God revealing the future shows this unbelievable development. The world is at the pinnacle of globalism. The Antichrist and the world system has just gone through a battling. The goal to annihilate all believers worldwide. The goal to annihilate Israel. Well, those have failed. The opening of the abyss and the destruction that comes in. All the devastations and the wrath of God that begin to fall. But it all points to the return of Christ. And if you do not understand this principle, that the entire cause of the rise of the Antichrist all the way to Armageddon, this whole passionate, vengeful, dark, empowered agenda, its ultimate goal is Armageddon. About destroying the descent of Christ, stopping the descent of... Do you understand their plotting and planning, their strategy? This occurred in the heavenlies, and then it occurred when Christ was born in human flesh, Revelation 12. Armageddon is 100% about the development of the most powerful forces ever in fallen human history or in the demonic satanic realm to do everything possible to destroy Christ in his descent. So the Antichrist, false prophet, and the armies, super soldiers, super military, are on the field. Weapons, planetary defense weapons, where'd they come from? Who thought of them? Who developed them? All of the power, you know, spiritual convergence, everything's there leveled, pointing up into the sky. Revelation 19, as the door opens and a white horse and a rider, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, descends. How'd they get to Armageddon? Well, Revelation 16. The most powerful satanic ritual release of demon powers. Supernaturally drawing all of those who already have been demonized in their belief of the demonic doctrine, presence, Antichrist. They accepted the mark. They worshiped the beast. But it took even more demonic supernatural power sent to the kings to lead them out to Armageddon. Do we understand how absolutely demonstrative the spiritual presence will be behind all the developments of globalism, the political ideology, the adverse critical mass of attitude against believers in Christ and Israel? Do we understand the transmutation of people? In all of this, it takes time to develop. And when you read Revelation 13 and see the beast rising up out of the sea, the ascendancy of the regime, the regime that is global and in place when Antichrist is unveiled to the world. And then there's another beast, a second beast, who ascends, it says, out of the earth, Revelation 13. Both of them Theron, both of them beasts. In the context of the book of Revelation, in the context of the word beast used, we have it also used in Revelation 6. The counterfeit, Antichrist, Antichrist spirit, all of that white horse unleashed. The great red, the chaos unleashed, where men peace is taken from the entire earth, and I believe that's the satanic Pentecost. I believe that's the chaos, and I believe that if you look at the Greek word, where men start killing, human beings start killing others by the millions. That it's the Greek word not for war in this case, but in civil insurrection and butchery, even used in terms of animal sacrifice, ritual sacrifice. So the slaughtering is done as a butchering, and in the Luciferians' view, it is a ritual. It is a way of even broadening the door of satanic presence and power, eliminating opposition that they've already looked at and plotted before that day occurs. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer working strong, if you're doing what you should be doing, I'm telling you, in all of what we know, you may have already been targeted The sleepers are in place. We've engaged them again and again and again. There's just too many. And when the great so-called, I don't want to call it great, when the satanic chaos is unleashed, when the New Agers and the 2012ers and the psychics and now, sadly, even the remote viewers, all think that, well, this bloodshed, this chaos, this cleansing of anybody that's not ready to join in with the spiritual wave. I mean, after all, the ascended demonic master that spoke demonic doctrine in the book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, through Alice Bailey, he gave that agenda, that very thing New Agers and others are believing, spouting off, the very thing now, the resurrection of the satanic, demonically given Mayan prophecies are pointing to. It's what that demon entity projected as the agenda for their development in the goal of bringing in the world, the supernatural world teacher, the Antichrist. New Agers are a part of bringing in the Antichrist. 2012ers and psychics and even remote viewers given over to the precursors are the open vessels and part and parcel of helping bring in the satanic caused chaos and the eventual rise. All of this includes the deep underground. You and I, with our finite minds, listen, we're talking about the fallen cherub that was able to pull away billions, one-third of the angels. The audacity is seen when he comes to Christ as God in human flesh is there and tries to tempt him. As far as fallen cherub and the demonic, the fallen angels, in contrast to humanity, they are enormous. They have great, massive power in contrast to humanity. They run circles around fallen humanity. If not for Christ, if not for God's intervention at the flood, and you do know that there's typology that refer the flood scenario to the cross and Christ, the Savior of the human race. And if you're on the outside of that, why? How could it be you don't see God in Christ, the Savior of the world, out of love for you, out of the most powerful, personally supernatural look at his life, sinless, harmless to anyone other than the devil, the demons, and their agenda? In the end of days, there will be millions that will be involved in the coming chaos. A regime that will be in place ascends. It's not frantically gathered after the fact. That's why the rebellion referred to in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Great Revolt, as older translations called it. That's the plotted thing the dark side has in mind. Let me say right now, the only thing holding back the unleashing of this hell on earth chaos that will wipe out millions, that will bring down nations, that will bring everything to a crumbling halt, the only thing holding back the red horse and the white horse and all the full development moving under the black and eventually the pale is the finger of God, the restraint. As God is out in the world saving, and every believer needs to be involved in getting everybody else, you know, brought to God, God's not willing not even one person would perish. He didn't want one. So let's get to it. In the context, if you now know biblical prophetic revelation that shows the satanic agenda and you see it, it jazzes me. It moves me to ramp up my prayers, get all that I can get, and come with all the fury of heaven against the dark side. and all of the mercy and the grace of God in Christ for the salvation of human beings. God has no bigger mission than to get people saved. If you're not saved, there's no bigger purpose on the side of heaven is than you return to God in Christ and come to know Him. Every believer taking up the cross to follow Christ be involved. In the development of Nephilim on the earth, people can debate it. People can change, you know, their minds and look at this. You know, it's not the central issue of Christendom. It's not the central issue of doctrine. It's not more central than the infallibility of the Word of God, the virgin birth, God in human flesh, Christ, the sinless Christ, the death on the cross, and what salvation is, the mission of God, the development of the body of Christ, living our lives like Christ and in His presence and power. But this issue does play a big part. Notice again, more has been written on it than ever in the history of the church in this last 10 years. More discussions out of abductees in the world of ufology and alienology. Abductees are claiming all over the world that they have been abducted, sexually raped, basically, impregnated to breed, well, in many of the secular views, a hybrid. But it's the same concept. A Nephilim, a giant, a hybrid, from a supernatural entity combined with humanity. And anybody that is into the world of ufology and the alienology, can I ask you why we haven't had a massive outrage about these so-called space brothers for playing the elusive game, for not helping one iota in the affairs of man? For abducting what some say now are hundreds of thousands, maybe now into to a million or more, I don't know. Gary Bates in his book, Alien Intrusion, gives the statistics, great book. But they're stealing people. They are kidnapping. They are using mind control. They are terrifying. They are shedding blood. They are impregnating, raping. They're using humans as breeders and supposedly taking the babies and moving off and so forth. So in that whole field, you have this unbelievable discussion in the last, 30 years. But then as we come to the last 10, more than ever. Conferences, materials, books, abductee. But we do not have in our hands the actual alien baby. Well, maybe some have seen. Maybe some have got it under an underground base in a cavern somewhere, someplace. But now satanic ritual abuse comes in, and for, listen now, 60 years, this has been going on, and the over 98% of the public doesn't know a thing, really. That we may be, in America alone, up to 10 million, and if you include Europe, we're talking probably 30 million or more. We're talking four generations of a great-grandmother, and then grandmother, then moms, and then the daughters, all the way down to 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. We're talking that it is a bloodline. In other words, it continues to where those, when we say bloodline, meaning those committed to the dark side, those who have the powers of darkness in them, those whose blood has been charged with the goal. Number one, I'll reiterate goals, but let me just give you three of them tonight. One, in satanic ritual abuse, we have listened to the story after story and pursued and are pursuing outside cooperative information, trace evidence as we seek it. We have listened to and engaged and talked with and prayed with and led to Christ and prayed demons out of and prayed healing into those who were made to be breeders. Many of those in satanic ritual abuse have been made to be a breeder only to have a child for sacrifice. Secondly, and probably the biggest issue along all of it, all of us who are counselors and helpers in this area, breeders who were, again, chosen. It all has a spiritual and ritual and demonic direction to it. There can be timing and dates and everything else involved. And the so-called mother, so-called father, they don't have to be like with the German Nazis, Aryans. They don't have to be husband and wife. They've just got to have what are considered the genes, or that they are highly demonized, their blood and even their genetics in some way may reflect something of the Nephilim, the God-men. And so they're chosen to breed another generation. Any SRA, MPD, DID listening to me now, you, if you're in your late 50s, you were chosen for that part. You have that background. You know that. You probably were a breeder for that purpose. And your daughters and then your grandchildren and great-grandchildren now. I've got one family that we're dealing with the original mother, the second, the third, and now the children. So a total of four generations in helping them get out of this. And so that breeding includes ritual dates, ritual empowerment, preconception rituals. Once conception occurs, more demonization, the causing of dissociation. When the child is born, rituals. When the child is beginning to develop, causing of dissociation, splitting. Eventually, the creation of subpersonalities. It is trauma-based, but includes demonic presence in the process. Again, the book, Black Awakening, goes into major detail written about the process. And so the development, the goal behind all of it is superhuman, super warrior. To use the subpersonalities as priestesses, assassins, fighters, warriors, infiltrators. All that G.H. Esterbrooks talked about in 1947 and much more are inside millions of those created, programmed, demonized, half of which are all intact and operative out there, and the other half, it seems, are trying to find healing and freedom and get out. The other story to all of this is the breeders who believe that actual angels appeared, manifested, and had sexual relationship. Now, anybody dealing with incubus, succubus, if you're in deliverance ministry, you're going to have to deal with it. We've dealt with this again and again, both with men and more so with women. And it involves demon attachment and possession if it goes on, if the human being willfully allows it. But it is a sexual, full-blown act. Many times they talk about the sexual energy and power of it, but also the pain of it. And then they can't get out unless delivered by the authority and power of Jesus Christ. If you are listening and you are attached and you are possessed and you are grabbed by all of this, then I'm telling you now in the name of Jesus Christ, may even he stretch out his hand in authority. May this prayer be effectual at any moment, at any time, in any place that it is downloaded and listened to. Lord Jesus, strike with your authority the demonic powers. Crush them in the name of Jesus. We command them to be destroyed, kicked out, get out in the name of Jesus. Lord, stretch out your hand to deliver individuals. Unleash extraordinary miracles to heal, set free, and save hearts and lives. Now, to those that believe that angels, B'nai Elohim, have come again, materializing. Again, it's clearly possible it has happened in the past. We do not have definitive biblical revelation where God said, oh, it will never occur again. We do have Jesus in Matthew 24 saying, as it was in the days of Noah, which means B'nai Elohim were having sex with women, creating Nephilim, and they were all over the earth, and they were into the second and third generations. And then again later. And Israel had to deal with it. And so please understand the biblical content doesn't tell us that it's impossible. And though we would think, oh, well, God forbid that. He forbids a lot of things. He tells people not to have sex before marriage, and people do it. God doesn't allow that. He says, don't do it. If you do it, you reap what you sow. So if there are gateways and doorways and summoning and the dark side in backbreeding and getting in four generations the most powerfully demonized individual, their blood is demonized, they've been through so much, and that they become the conduit with the rituals that are done to summon demons to appear in the ritual format anyway. Is it possible that they are showing up, a fallen angel having sex with a woman? Now, please understand what I said yesterday. It doesn't have to be through satanic ritual abuse. In the origins, they just came down and they took women. Not satanically ritually abused women. They just took women. Any women. Whoever they wanted to. So it's very important for us to understand that we might be in a different type of process. Like with Jack Parsons, like with Crowley, like with the Nazis, like with Satanized military science. We may be in a development of creating something like the Nephilim, much, you know, almost the Nephilim. The backbreeding was to get to full-blown Nephilim, but you don't get to full-blown first-generation Nephilim without a fallen angel showing up, taking a woman and doing it. And don't forget that in the pregnancies, you read the extra biblical literature, including Enoch and others, women that were taken, women that were impregnated by the fallen angels, the pregnancy, the birth issues, so many women died. It was horrific. It was bloody. It was destructive to the women. So on the one hand, with all the stories we heard in the early, well, the late 80s, early 90s, and our goal personally on our side of the fence, Shatter the Darkness goal, our thousands of hours, not just in counseling, but in driving, sitting out in woods, going to buildings, going to places, getting pictures, in, counter-infiltrating, going to bases, going to, you know, doing what we need to do to verify for the victim what their memories were telling them, what the sub-personalities coming up out of the demonization were saying. A lot of incredible information. See, all of that kind of information in Ezekiel chapter 8 would have been there in that cavern. But again, sealed away, nobody knew until God led Ezekiel. And everyone wanting to find out more, wanting to verify, wanting to get God-given, uncontested evidence, then you're going to need the authority, the power of God. You're going to need to approach this not just as a researcher or an investigator in a secular sense with all of your human reason. You're going to need the fact of Ezekiel 8. God wanted it to be known. God led by supernatural force Ezekiel into sea, the detestable, horrific thing that was going on, and to know what was going to be done about it. Do I believe that God wants it to be exposed? Ephesians 5, if we are commanded to expose evil deeds of darkness, you cannot, don't forget this, expose what you don't know. And for believers that have just shut their eyes purposely and said, I don't want to see, I don't want to see, I want to see, out of sight, out of mind, and go your own way, only protecting yourself. Well, then you are let me say it this way. You can become a blatant coward, grieving the Spirit of God and demonstrating what Christ and His kingdom is not. If this speaks to anybody, let's repent, get out of it, become bold as lions, clothed with the Spirit of God, with the goal of winning every person we can. And that will involve dealing with demonized people. That will involve, as has now over 30 years, engagement with millions of victims of the agenda to develop the super soldier master race, bringing in the chaos. The chaos that everybody talks about, everybody feels in the air. It ain't going to happen without the people, without the master race, without the operating presence
demonically, satanically, or of even the Antichrist and false prophet behind the scene, who may be operative more years behind the scenes than they ever will be when they're on the scene. Of course, when they're on the scene is when the worst of the worst of the worst of devastation occurs. Ultimately, billions, maybe four, maybe five, die. The calculation is hard to give. Clearly, there are those that believe they have been impregnated, that there is projects, and that you have clear memory. In all of this, my goal in our area of ministry has always been then we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to break in. We're going to do like Daniel, to ask the God who knows all mystery, knows all the stuff. You know, we read that verse in Hebrews 4, that nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So God knows it all. God knows where all the evidence is. That's why we've prayed years and years and years for the evidences, uncontested evidences. We've prayed that God would literally break in and break the satanic defenses. You will have to do that. You will have to use the authority of Christ, and you will have to become the prayer warrior, the fierce, uncompromising, and a fierce warrior that will not back away. If you want to deal with the devil's front line, you better be at God's front line. Are you there? Will you serve? Will you give? Will you be clothed with the fire of heaven? Will you use authority, have your armor on? And as we read in Isaiah, have you read Isaiah 58? Have you read where God says, spend yourself on behalf of the victims? Break the yoke, break every yoke, the bondages. Have you read what true fasting is all about? Have you read this? When you read about the pale horse, when you read that one-fourth, Revelation 6, that one-fourth of the earth will be killed by sword, which is the Greek word that involves war, by a battle, the idea of battle, but it also involves pestilence or plague-type things, and famine. And then God reveals it includes the beast, the Theron of the earth. Now, in the context of the book of Revelation, Theron are hybrid. If the Antichrist is the fallen cherub in human flesh, if the false prophet is some kind of Theron, hybrid, then when we read in chapter 6 that these wild beasts, now either one-fourth, millions of people will die because lions and tigers and bears go wild. And listen, you can do a big study of the Old Testament where in the Septuagint and with just a simple study of beasts, wild beasts, most of the time it is referring to animals. Even when you look at Acts 11:6 and the vision that Peter has, and he talks about the wild beast, referring to animals. But we can go. 1 Corinthians 15:32. Paul says, I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. Now, go ahead and do the study. Go back to look at Ephesus. This is an incredible city. While we read about in that city demonized individuals, Jewish sorcerers trying to use the name of Jesus, when the demons speak back and say, hey, who are you? You know, we know Jesus, we know Paul, but who are you? And the demonized individual then attacked them all. When you read in the book of Acts concerning Ephesus, chapter 19, you're going to read clearly about, major demon empowerment, the possibility, if you do the research in Ephesus, of Nephilim-oriented worship, or gods and goddesses, at least in the sky, temples that are being built. There's verse 19 in Acts 19. So Acts 19:19, listen to it. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachma. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. A great exchange was occurring. The kingdom of God, Christ, coming in, breaking the demonic in the air, and the people in the city, the demonized Ephesians, by the power and the presence of the kingdom of God in Christ, was all being exposed and all being revealed. There was a great disturbance there. And the silversmith, and there was a riot, and they made shrines to Artemis, demon god, maybe Nephilim-oriented. And guess what occurs? The goddess, they believed, you know, came out of the heavens. They have the great temple of the goddess Artemis was being, they felt being desecrated, robbed of her divine majesty. Go ahead and read the chapter. And so this big, furious, which my mind will say, demon-inspired, demonic, the presence of in the air, manifest presence, because of the temples on the ground, because of the demonized, possessed people, because of what occurs now. They go into a riot. They go into a furious frenzy, shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." It was in an uproar. And they wanted to kill. They wanted blood. They wanted to kill the believers. And that's the reference Paul makes in saying that he fought wild beasts, highly demonized individuals in the crowd setting that were ready to attack and kill, inspired by the presence they worshipped. And it does have its roots in Nephilim blood and god-goddess worship. So we do have a clarity there. We also have a clarity in the Psalms 68. Psalm 68, in which we can read about, you know, God summon your power. Well, great prayer. That's a great chapter that deals with prayer. And talking about to rebuke the, if you read this in the King James, most other translations will talk about rebuking the wild beast. In some translations, it'll say, rebuke the company of spearmen. It is clear that it's not talking about animals there, but of a demonized, if not bloodlined, Nephilim tribe. The company, the kahi, the spearmen, the soldiers of, at the very least, demonized tribe, highly demonized tribe, counting on the powers to empower the soldier, or generations down of Nephilim, which would include high demonization, territorial presence and power. And like the Moabite king that sacrificed his son to draw the powers to back his soldiers, this is the picture, I really do believe, Revelation 6, the pale horse, where a fourth of the earth is to be killed, billions, hundreds of millions, with sword, hunger, death, and with Theron, beasts. If that is clearly referring to some kind, whether first generation or some new tweaked level of Nephilim, hybrids are going to be involved in killing a fourth of humanity. They're going to be involved in the killing of millions. And it's prophesied, and if that's what it is, it does mean one thing. that there has to be some level of the highest backbreeding blood-wise and demonization possession in the conceiving and attempts to make a hybrid, or in direct fallen angel to prepared woman in that system, in that regime. If you and I understand that the regime is out there and that they truly are demonized, demon committed in the Luciferic sense, then we must understand they know the system. They know what it takes. If the Nazis can believe and happily give up their lives to being breeders in Lebensborn, by the way, Lebensborn produced, some say 400, some say 800,000 babies. Where'd they all go? And did you know they'd only be about 68, 70 years old? And if they are stronger Aryan, in a spiritual and genetic mix of breeding, are they the oldest in the four generations of satanic ritual abuse multiplicity? Oh, the researchers have found everywhere that in the origins, I have found in these chosen ones, the ones that are in their 50s, all of them have German-speaking subparts, assassin parts, great demonization, priestesses who now can use ancient unknown languages to summon demons, and they believe they are here to serve Antichrist. They lick their lips waiting for the day of Christian blood and bringing down society and bringing in the new. And they are here by the millions. If they have produced on some level Nephilim or first generation, the powers that hide the regime in the Antichrist and the false prophet, 2 Thessalonians 2, obviously would hide this part of their work. But it does mean that if we are close to the great chaos, the red horse, we're also very close to, within the span of years, the pale horse. And that means that whatever those beasts are, and I do believe they probably are Nephilim in some sense, a remake of the version, if not direct, then just if that's how close we are, the Antichrist is out there, the beast regime, multinational, is out there waiting, the false prophet is out there, operative, waiting, all to come to the surface, and then these beasts, they're not going to be babies. If these are some level of some kind of Nephilim, if they're just like in Ephesus, highly demonized people going into a frenzy, that God doesn't call humans at that point, but instead calls them Theron, then the reality is they would have to be born and raised and ready to help kill 1/4. Hundreds and hundreds of millions. You pray through this session. You think through this session. At the very least, the possibilities are clear. At the most, then Nephilim are here and will be used in possibly the chaos and all the way to the pale horse, to where literally billions on the earth, Georgia Guidestone Declaration, Mayan, all these folks being sucked into by the precursors. It's going to happen. You're either someone that knows the living Christ listening to this. If you're biblically oriented, you really, searching the scriptures, then get it all down. Ask the Lord for anything new, anything more, scriptures you haven't looked at for a long time. Have you looked at Psalm 68? What are the beasts there to be rebuked? Well, they're spearmen, they're soldiers, they're demonized, if not Nephilim tribe. Who did Paul fight there in Ephesus? He didn't even call them humans. Most likely highly demonized city, demonized individuals that went into a demon frenzy, riot in protecting the goddess. And they're ready to shed blood over it. So don't think those demonized will not be ready to shed blood when the powers are unleashed in such heavy waves that the frenzy and the rage and the weaponization, as with the Moabite king, doesn't occur on a global scale. Where is your protection? The living Christ, untouched by the dark side, indefeatable, indestructible, the living Christ. His blood is the pure blood of God shed for humanity. His declaration, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go make disciples. The promise of the clothing of power, authority given to us as believers to trample everything spiritually dark. I do believe if we engage first, there are those that are praying for the uncontested cooperative evidences, which means encounters with first, second, third, or tweaked Nephilim. It is my belief that in their pursuit and hunting of this, that the authority of Christ that Jesus spoke about in Luke 10, he says, I have given you, perfect tense in the Greek, authority to trample, not to bend, not to just slough out of the way, to trample the dark side, snakes and scorpions, the figure of the demonic realm, and then to overcome Nike, to overcome all the power. Do I believe that the authority of Christ is Christ or a first generation Nephilim? Which one's more powerful? Which one would run and listen, a demonized man with a legion of demons, possibly 144,000, because a legion was 144,000. So a man packed with legion came to a screeching halt with his face to the ground crying out. Well, the demon was through him because they recognized that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, Savior of the world, untouched by sin, untouched by Satan, that Jesus Christ is the King of all, and the darkest of powers recognized and threw the battered human naked body to the ground and cried out, have you come to torture us? One thing I know about the demonic world, they know who Jesus Christ is. They can care less about Buddha, Muhammad, Quetzalcoatl, Hindu gurus. They don't care. But they fear. And they also, with a vengeance, hate the living Christ. Because of his infinite, overwhelming, indestructible, indefeatable presence, person, authority. Do you know this presence? In the dark hours of the finality of the human race, in the twilight of fallen human civilization. Among the Mayans, there was no one there back in those days with the authority of Christ to do anything. Without an intervention, Nephilim, demons, human sacrifice, transmutation, human destruction, misery abounds. In your city has the living Christ, all of the power of his gospel, been taken to every quarter. The man in the high up building, the girl on the back alley street. What is the joy of heaven when one human being repents and turns to God? All heaven rejoices in the redemption. If you're a believer, your returning home in Christ to God caused heaven to leap. If you're listening now, whatever country of the world and whatever moment in time you listen, obviously, at this present moment, the Spirit of Christ summons you to repent of all. Come out of the darkness. No sin you have committed that is bigger and broader than the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. He's bigger than all of it. All of it washed away, cleansed, forgiven, and the living Christ can come into your life with power and the gift of eternal life, the authority and freedom from sin's powers, hell's hold, and demonic presence. Jesus Christ, Jesu Christu, Yahweh Adonai. May He engage you. May you receive Him right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Lord Jesus, I renounce sin, the demons, the darkness. Lord Jesus, even if you're a perpetrator, or what you would consider a victim, or a subpersonality monitoring, get out of hell's grip and come into the hands of the God that will rejoice over your life as you're cleansed and breathed upon by heaven's grace in Jesus. Jesus Christ, even your demons know, He's the final, ultimate, eternal, always has been, always will be, God. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support. God bless you. See you on Friday night.